everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into the NHSCA Sports Hour. The show airs at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And now here's your host of the NHSCA Sports Hour, Mr. Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. Good evening, high school sports fans, and welcome to the show for October the 13th, a lucky day, hopefully, for everyone. I am Jeff Fisher. As Corey said, I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America. I'm going to settle back in here. 2 hours worth of high school sports talk here on the Artist First Radio Network tonight after we wrap up on the NHSCA Sports Hour, moving right into all football, all high school football on High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Great show for you tonight. We'll kick things off in Virginia with Wendy Wilson, head field hockey coach at Tabb High School in Yorktown, Virginia. Wilson is the NHSCA's 2011 Coach of the Year in the sport, and her Tigers have won three straight Virginia Class AA, Single A titles. Then we head to Oklahoma to talk with Mike Plunkett of the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association, and he's going to chat a little bit about a big anniversary for them, Oklahoma, the Sooner State, celebrating its 100th year when it comes to governing high school athletics and now other activities there. And we'll wrap up with Aaron Taylor of XCNation.com. We'll get us up to date on the latest cross-country news from around the country. Also have some new rankings out, so we will be talking to Aaron about that. Of course, you may remember last week we spoke with Aaron's brother, David. They are the co-founders of XC Nation. David is a Marine stationed over in Afghanistan, and we learned a lot from him. And Aaron will be around throughout the cross-country season to keep everybody up to date on what's going on there. Time to remind you that voting is going on for October's GTM Sportswear NHSCA Athlete of the Month. The award will be handed out next month, and we already had our first winner, the September winner, Gary Dieter of Washington High School in South Bend, Indiana, the September Athlete of the Month for the GTM Award. Gehrig, who was named after that famous guy, the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, has had just quite a season in playing football for Washington High School earlier this year, and we did have him on High School Football America back on the 8th of September. He broke the national record for receiving yards in a game. Gary caught 473 yards worth of passes in a game for a new national record. He actually right now is going after the single season record. He's averaging over 200 yards of receiving yards per game. Quite an accomplishment for that young man. And again, you can go to the archives at artistfirst.com, go to High School Football America, click on the show for September 8th, and you can hear about that fine young man who kind of came out of nowhere and set the world on fire with a couple of records early on in the season in Indiana football. Now, as far as our nominees for this month, and you can go to nhsca.com to cast your ballot, and you can read about them. Their little bios there will also tell you a little bit more about them later in the show. But to let you know who's nominated this month, we have Beth Cecil, a senior girls volleyball player from Bethlehem High School in Bardstown, Kentucky. Edward Chesarek, an incredible cross-country runner from St. Benedict's Prep in New Jersey. We have Jake Mulhart, a senior wide receiver on the Camarillo High School football team in California. Matty Malk, a senior quarterback at Kenton, Ohio. He's going to break several records this year. He's up for nomination. And the last person nominated this month is Baker Mayfield, a junior running back from Lake Travis High School in Austin, Texas. Again, go to the website, nhsca.com, to read the bios on all six and then cast your votes. Time to thank our sponsors before we take our first break. XCNation.com, along for the ride, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, Cliff Keen, Dalamure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Taking a break now. When we come back on the other side of the commercials, Wendy Wilson of Tabb High School going to talk some girls field hockey from Virginia when we come back on the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
And now back to the NHSCA Sports Hour with your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. Still ahead on the show, we're going to talk to Mike Plunkett from Oklahoma. He's part of the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association, talking about their 100th anniversary. And then later on in the show, around 40 minutes past the hour, head out to Idaho to talk some cross-country news with Aaron Taylor of XC Nation. New rankings are out, and he'll have them for you. We also have a little news from field hockey now. Before we get to our first interview, Alana Barry from Eastern High School in Voorhees, New Jersey, set a new record a couple of days ago. Thanks to 4 years of hard work, the senior goalkeeper set a national record for shutouts. She didn't have to stop a single shot on Tuesday, recording her 10th shutout of the season, 68th of her career, topping the former national mark of 67 shutouts set by Haley Exner of Scripps Ranch in San Diego, California, back in 2003. Barry will continue her field hockey career next year at Iowa. Now let's bring in the 2011 NHSCA National Field Hockey Coach of the Year out of Virginia Tabb High School, Wendy Wilson, who's been doing some pretty big things down there in the state of Virginia, to talk about her program that has won 3 straight state championships. So welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, we're really excited to kind of talk about your program and what you've been able to accomplish down there in a pretty short period of time since taking over the program in 2004. But before we kind of hop into the field hockey, always like to let the national audience know a little bit about the school. So you're located in Yorktown, Virginia. Tell us a little bit about the community and the school.
We're a small school located in York County, like you said. We're one of the oldest schools in York County. So we're AA, which means we're in the middle. There's 3 class divisions in Virginia, so we're in the middle. We average about 900 to 1,000 students. And our field hockey games are as big as football games in our area. We have halftime shows. We have kids painted up. It's kind of a tradition at Tab for field hockey to be one of our most popular sports. So it's really exciting to come out to our games because we have lights. We play under the lights at 7 o'clock, and you'll get as many of the student body there sometimes as football, so that's always fun.
Wow, that's all. You got me excited. I didn't come out here and check that out after hearing all of that. It's funny because one of the stories that I read about you as I prepared for this was talking about how big field hockey is, and they were saying in the southern part of the state. So, I mean, why is the sport so popular in that part of Virginia?
I think it's a tradition of excellence that comes along with the area. Our district is one of the strongest districts in the state, and it's a lot of competitive, friendly rivalries, and I think it's just fostered that competitive spirit, even in the younger athletes. When I first started at Tab, we got a middle school team, and so it was the girls would start in 7th grade, but now we have youth leagues that start at age 6, so it's really grown to where they're reaching out to even the younger and younger divisions.
Wow, you can get a dynasty going with a good feeder program. That's for sure. That's great. So you took over in 2004, kind of fresh out of college and all that. So tell me a little bit about the journey from being a real good field hockey player at Christopher Newport University and then making the adjustment to coaching these young women.
Well, I think when I played at CNU, we went through a cycle of coaches, and I actually played for 4 different coaches all 4 years that I played. And so I got an interesting take on different coaching styles and philosophies throughout my career. And I think it was actually, you know, a lot of people say, well, that was probably hard. But I actually think it was a good thing because it helped me to grow as a coach, because I took bits and pieces from each of the coaches that I had and tried to develop my own coaching style, and I got to implement that when I came to TAB. So that was exciting for me.
Now, I know you were a high-scoring player, 9 goals in one game, I read at one point. And I also know that your team was able to find the back of the net, to use a hockey term, quite a bit a couple of seasons ago there, 150 goals in a season. So tell us a little bit about your philosophy on the field itself.
Well, I think, like you said, I think I'm definitely very attack-oriented. I always tell my girls, I don't care who scores. You know, my defenders can come up. We push. We play a very high-pressure game. We attack. We like to pull everyone up as far as possible and try to have as many people backing up our offense as possible. And I think we definitely focus on the attack side of the game a little bit more than anything else.
Now, when we chatted last night getting ready for the interview, you had mentioned, obviously, and I said it, you have 3 straight state championships. You said a lot of that's due to, you know, a core group of girls that have been together and gotten you through that three-peat. So let's give the kids a little props here. Who are some of the key players on this year's team?
Absolutely. I have 4 seniors that have been a part of the program since the first state championship, and that is midfielder Brianna Jasnick, midfielder Lauren Ness, forward Julia Amonin, and forward Grace Wusk. And all 4 of them have been 4-year starters since their freshman year, and they were a part of that first title that we grabbed in 08.
How have you seen those kids specifically kind of grow through the program? And now, you know, like you said, they're 4 seniors, but how have you seen them grow, and how have they given back to these younger kids on the program?
Oh, absolutely. Their leadership is just unbelievable on the field, off the field. You know, we start August 1st, obviously, and then run through now, but they have been working with these girls all throughout the off season, you know, pumping them up, keeping them excited about field hockey. When we run leagues and camps throughout the summer, they're always game. The girls, even the younger girls, a lot of times the seniors, you know, you get caught up with the older crowd, but we went to camp this summer, and even the middle school girls came, and I got so many emails from their parents that these young ladies were helping them and, you know, making sure their daughters, you know, were happy and helping them in the dorms and taking care of them. And I think that has kind of spilled over into our program, because a lot of what I try to promote is chemistry and like a family feel. And these young ladies, they know exactly how to do that and foster that.
Now, you mentioned that you began on August 1st. I know Virginia has the new rule where basically all sports are going to be able to go year-round. Is that going to make any changes in the way you handle the program, or will you kind of stick with what the old school has been, which is, you know, you start basically around the beginning of school?
Well, it's interesting because, see, we are a fall sport, so we haven't yet gotten to see how that's going to work out because it didn't start till after August 1st. I think that the majority of my girls are involved in club field hockey around here is huge, and almost all the girls on my team already participate in that, and so I don't really want to pull away from that because I know that's important to them, and I like it too because they learn from different coaches in the off season, and they work with different players throughout the region, other strong players, and I feel they learn from them and they help grow as you know, players themselves by learning from other teams and other styles. And so I'm not real sure how much extra practicing we're going to do as a team, considering the girls tend to get a lot of out-of-season training as it is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and, you know, still allows the girls, like you said, to play in the club, and if they want to play other sports too, because I think that's the big debate out there right now.
Yeah.
Are you getting rid of the 2- and 3- sport athletes by year-round? So, interesting take on that. So, now we talked about your coaching style. I also read that, and last night you told me, one of your biggest fears in this interview was that your son, your young son, sitting there next to you, might have a little fit while we're talking, but he's done really well. But I also hear that you basically coached during your pregnancy right up until you gave birth, and then I guess you were right back on the sidelines after that.
Yes. We call him our lucky charm because my first state title was when the year he was born. He was born on September 23rd, so right smack in the middle of season. And we had a game on the 25th, and so I I wasn't as animated as I normally am, but I did make it to the game. And the girls weren't expecting me. My assistant coach, Kelly Weed, she's awesome. I mean, she helped me out so much through that. And she would, you know, had the team ready, and then I showed up right for the pregame talk, and the girls were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe we were there. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, it's just hard. When you have such a passion for something, it's hard to stay away.
Well, that, again, I've got a smile on my face when I hear the dedication like that. That's a fun thing to hear about. Now, you know, maybe that's why you were our coach of the year last year. Although I don't know whether we knew that story. So I know you were also the National Field Hockey Coaches Association coach of the year too. When you win awards like that, what does that mean for you personally?
Well, for me personally, I really feel like it. It's an award for the team, more so than myself, because they, to me, they're just such hard. I couldn't ask for better athletes. I mean, you know, in the public schools, it's not like we can recruit and things like that. And these girls, they come out and give me 110% every minute of every day. And I don't, a lot of it is just, they're just such strong players and strong athletes and competitors. So that even like that first year when I was pregnant and I was missing days and stuff, I could give them drills and give it to my captains, and I could leave and come back an hour later, and they would be working as hard as if I was standing there staring at them. And that's what I'm just really blessed to have girls like that, and that's what I think about when I get these awards. I'm really humbled and I'm really honored, and I just think how lucky I am to have the group of athletes that I've had over the years.
Let's talk a little bit about the health of the sport. Obviously, it's healthy in your school. It's healthy in the area where you're in. How do you feel about the sport overall in the state and kind of its position in America in high school athletics?
I think it's still growing. I think that I wish some more teams, you know, throughout Middle America and the West Coast would pick it up. I know that lacrosse, you know, is expanding at an incredible rate, and I wish that we would pick it up a little bit more. I do like the way that, like I said, now we're reaching out to even younger and younger age groups, whereas when I was in high school, I didn't start till 10th grade because it just wasn't normal to start in that area until you were in high school. So, you know, it's nice to see that it's growing to the younger, the girls in the communities and things like that. And around here, I mean, it's really popular around here. Indoor field hockey is almost as big as outdoor field hockey because that runs from November through March. And we have the national indoor tournament and everything like that. And we have an indoor tournament probably every weekend almost that you could participate in if you wanted to. So it's nice to see how it's growing like that as well.
Well, that's good to hear. I didn't mention this to you yesterday, but my hometown is Emmaus, Pennsylvania, and Sue Butz-Staven, who I'm going to have on the show in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
700
yeah.
games. And so yeah. I'm very familiar and appreciate the sport and appreciate, you know, people to take the time to continue to further it. So the last question before I let you go here is, you know, obviously you've got those four seniors. They're looking for the four-peat. Personally, how important is it to you to help those kids achieve the goal of playing 4 years and winning four state titles?
Oh, absolutely. I met with all of them before season started, and we kind of talked about it a little bit because the pressure starts to build, and it does create some tension sometimes. And the girls just looked at me and they said, "Coach, we are not going to be the year that doesn't do it. We will do whatever it takes to make sure we pull through." And I was like, "Okay, well then I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you get there." And it's true. I mean, like I said, I'm just really lucky. These girls want it. They're hungry for it. They're competitors in every sense of the nature. I mean, our practices are as hard as games sometimes because they're always challenging each other, but then as soon as it's over, they hug and they're friends and they move on, but they know they're making each other better that way. And I just want to keep instilling that competitive edge and that spirit to try to push through for our hopefully our fourth title.
And we're talking to Wendy Wilson of Tab High School. And the last thing I forgot to mention, but I'm going to get the little plug in here. You said to me yesterday it was so pleasing to you that you guys got the national ranking for the first time last year. How important is that kind of national spotlight in whatever way it may seem for a small school like you?
Well, I think it's huge because we all follow topofthecircle.com, Almate's site. He's just awesome, the things that he does for field hockey. And, you know, we've been watching it, and it's always Cox and, you know, Princess Anne and these schools from the beach. And for us to break through this year and get a national ranking is huge for the girls because they feel like their hard work is finally paying off. And now every time they play, they want to keep proving to him and to the rest of the country that, you know, we can compete with some of the strong teams out there. And that's kind of what fuels us and keeps us going.
Well, I just really appreciate you taking the time tonight. And I appreciate your son cooperating there, too, making it a good interview. But best of luck in the attempt for the four-peat there and keep things going. And congratulations on being our Coach of the Year. We're really honored to have you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
That is Wendy Wilson, the head field hockey coach at Tabb High School in Yorktown, Virginia, the 2011 NHSCA Coach of the Year in field hockey, and you can just hear the enthusiasm come out of her there as she really has turned this program around since taking over in 2004. They've won three straight state titles and have a real shot at making the four-peat. Going to take a break. When we come back, heading to Oklahoma, going to talk about a 100th anniversary for the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association. That and more when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
And now back to the NHSCA Sports Hour with your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. Just a great chat with Wendy Wilson, the head field hockey coach at Tabb High School in Virginia, the three-time state champs going for the four-peat. A little bit later in the show, we're going to bring in Aaron Taylor from XCNation.com. The new cross-country national rankings, individual and team, are out, and Aaron will get us up to speed on what has happened in the last week and if there's any change at the top of the national rankings. Now, time to ship ourselves out to Oklahoma, and we're going to bring in Mike Plunkett here from the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activity Association, and going to talk about a very special year for the organization. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It's exciting to speak with you today.
Yeah, well, you know, we always like to, you know, we like the athletes and coaches, but at the top of it all, making it all happen are the state organizations that keep it running smoothly. And, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show before you came on, 100 years strong. But before we get into all of that stuff, when you and I chatted today, you kind of told me a little humorous story that I want to share with my listeners, which is you guys kind of stumbled on the fact that you're 100 years old. How'd that happen?
Well, we did, Jeff. It's almost embarrassing to say. Our state is a relatively young state in comparison to the other parts of the country, and we were going through some paperwork. Our organization started in 1911, and it was a common known fact, but it just wasn't something that you talk about every day, and we ran across a document that was printed in 1961, and I was actually the gentleman that found it in an old archive. We were looking up some information for a court case. And I said, hey, look at this. This is a nice little document. And, the 50th year. And then, you know, I did the math in my head, which took me just a few minutes. And I said, oh, my gosh, it's like, 2011 would be the 100. And no one had mentioned it. And I've been with the association for 10 years. And I thought, well, surely that would have come up at least once sometime if anyone knew about it. So I produced the document and brought it to our staff meetings. And everybody was kind of shocked. And luckily, we found it about 8 or 9 months prior to the actual celebration. So we were able to put a few things together, but it's certainly not like we've been planning this thing for 5 years.
Well, sometimes the best things are just kind of put together in a hurry, and they actually turn out pretty well. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Oklahoma athletics. Listeners here in the past year, we've had Shannon Dobson on, the head baseball coach at Broken Arrow, which won your 6A state championship. We've had Dylan Bundy on, the kid that was drafted, just like you had, I can't think of his name right now, from Broken Arrow. But, you know, we know a lot of football. football out there. How would you classify and explain Oklahoma high school sports to a national listening audience?
Well, I'll tell you what, Oklahoma is very proud of their sports tradition, and I've asked many times about the rabid attitude that our fans seem to have for football. I was not originally from Oklahoma, so it was somewhat interesting to me to see how it is a big deal. And I know sports are big in every state, but there's something special about especially football in Oklahoma. And I think an old-timer tried to explain it to me one time that they thought that it went all the way back to the Dust Bowl, back when there was really not much going on in Oklahoma that you could be proud and positive of. There was this University of Oklahoma football team that ran off an undefeated streak and trying to brought pride and attention to our state. So there is a real pride of all sports in Oklahoma. Football is kind of a national pastime down here, and as you're probably aware of our Oklahoma State and Oklahoma Sooners football team, they're doing rather well. So it is a big deal down here. A lot of schools still have the sports in their schedule, part of their school day. I would say it's on probably one of the leading edges of sports in high schools.
Yeah, well, I had the pleasure to read the story. It was a seismic shift in your 6A category when Union, I think it was a 94-game district win streak got snapped by Owosso. So obviously there's some changes down there, and people take big pride when the big guy goes down. So let's talk about the 100th year and some of the things that you're doing to celebrate this. Yeah, I know it took you only 8 months to plan it, but what are you doing?
Well, we're excited to be able to talk to you, Jeff, here in Chicago. We know that you've got probably 50,000 listeners across the nation every time you do your show, and we're excited to be able to get on and maybe spread the word about our centennial celebration. We know that there are Oklahomans out there across the country that are listening to your show, so we appreciate the opportunity. We are asking, we have about 100,000 athletes a year that participate in sports in Oklahoma. And when we decided to do our 100th year celebration, we did the normal things of changing our letterhead, and we're going to have our medals that we give out have a special centennial seal, and our ribbons are going to look different. But we wanted to do something a little different. We put together a little committee of folks, and one of the things we came up with is we intentionally did not want to do a list of the top 10 basketball or the top 10 baseball. We feel like the newspapers have done that already. So what we wanted to do was to show how important activities are to students, both athletic and non-athletic. We are a non-athletic as well as an athletic activity association. So we went back and decided, why don't we give the listeners in locally or nationally an opportunity to go to our website, which is www.ossaa.com, and tell us their story about how activities change their life. We hear every day that kids who are in activities do better in school. They do better not only in school but in life. It's a life lesson that they're out there with sports and other activities. So we decided to put up a place where people could share, hey, believe it or not, this activity changed my life. I remember when I was in, we don't want the Barry Sanders, although that's great. We understand that there's some great national athletes from many, many states out there. But what we want is the average Joe that had his life changed. Tell us your story. He may own a tire store down at the corner, but he learned that in junior high wrestling, his coach pulled him aside and said, son, you just got to work harder, you could be a starter for me if you'll just bust your tail and work hard. And we have received some great stories out there, and we're asking for more. We call it our centennial stories. And I'm telling you, we have had some great stories about guys who, some gentleman just wrote one the other day that was in his 80s. He said, you're not going to believe it, but my junior high baseball coach told me, if I'll just work hard and put my nose down to the grindstone, you'd be surprised what could happen. He said, that motto has been with me my whole life and changed my life, my junior high baseball coach. So we understand that, and so we'd like to encourage your listeners to go to our website, www.ossaa.com, and click on the centennial celebration up there. And that's one of the things that we're doing, Jeff, in addition to the proclamations by the legislator and all those kinds of things and creating banners and decals for the helmets. But we're pretty excited about our stories that are going out there. We think that's pretty neat.
No, and you and I talked about it today. I think one of the things that sometimes gets lost in high school athletics as they get bigger and better is sometimes that storytelling, those little stories that don't always find their way into the paper or whatnot, but people know about it. So I applaud you for doing something like that because that's very, very important. Now, you know, let's kind of use that to dovetail into some of the stories you were telling me about earlier today. You know, it made me chuckle that you guys found out that boxing was a sanctioned sport back in the day. But the one that probably made me chuckle the most, and you can talk about the boxing too, was your very famous girls basketball coach who years ago put out I think you said it was a postcard that you actually found. And tell us that story a little bit. It's very, very entertaining.
Sure. All over the nation, you have different activities that are popular for a certain period of time. You know, I went to a meeting the other day at the National Federation of High Schools where one association has bass fishing and another association has surfing. And, you know, that's foreign to a lot of places, just like field hockey would be foreign to some places. But we, in researching our centennial, found that we had boxing as one of our sanctioned activities. And we kind of giggle about that because of the liability. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like?
No, I can't.
Exactly. You know, we also had a thing called sand green golf, which I was totally shocked. What in the world is that? And apparently it's where you play golf, and the greens are actually made of sand as opposed to grass. I had never heard of the activity, but some of the old-timers said, oh, yeah, that's the way we all grew up and learned to play golf. So activities do change. And one of the things that we found most amazing is in Oklahoma, there was a pretty strong tradition of girls basketball here. Bertha Teague, who is a Hall of Fame, the National High School Hall of Fame basketball coach, girls basketball coach, wrote a letter to our association, and we found it in our research of our centennial. And it was addressed to Lee K. Anderson, the executive director. It said, Mr. Anderson, after talking with you, I decided to do some studies with my freshman girls here in Bing, Oklahoma, and it appears that their heart rate does return back to normal after dribbling, just like it does with passing drills. So I think girls might be capable of this. And what it was basically boiled down to is girls were not allowed to dribble the ball more than once or twice, and that was the common practice. And the theory was girls' hearts just couldn't stand it. It was just too physical for women to do that. So there was actually a letter saying, you know, I suggest we do a poll with our basketball coaches, and they did. We had a copy of the postcard they sent out, and it said, dear coach, you know, please check one of the following. I think girls should have A, one dribble, B, two dribbles, C, unlimited dribbling. And it was a big deal, you know. Those are the kind of things you uncover that, you know, looking back on it nowadays, you find that hard to believe. Probably just as hard to believe as we'd have boxing, you know. But you can imagine girls' hearts weren't going to make it to have unlimited dribbling.
So those are some of the great stories. We're talking with Mike Plunkett of the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association on their 100th anniversary celebration. And, you know, some of the other information that you found out was there's a very famous Oklahoman who has got a field named after him in your state there, who had a big role in the startup of the organization.
Yeah, the Oklahoma High School Athletic Association is what we were known in 1911 when it first started. In the 60s, they adopted the non-athletic, so our name changed to the Oklahoma High School, you know, Athletic to Activity Association. But before when we were strictly an athletic association, before the OSSAA, or at that time the OHAA, had enough money to run their own organization, the school leaders got together and said, we've got these athletic things, we need someone to help us run it. Who would be the obvious choice? And at the time, the University of Oklahoma head football coach was named Ben Owen. Some of you may be familiar with Owen Field. The stadium is named after Ben Owen. And he actually ran the high school athletic association with a couple of graduate students for a couple of years, just to let them get on their feet. And in other words, make enough money to hire their own staff. So nobody in our office knew that. I assure you, that came as great surprise. And once again, we found that document printed in 1961 that had that information, went back and researched, and sure enough, Ben Owen was, you know, our boss, you could say, back in the day. And that's kind of exciting to find that out. That's a pretty important person in Oklahoma, at least. Yeah, it's like opening a time capsule up as you've gone over the last 8 months to get everything up and running. We've talked a lot about athletics, but again, as you mentioned, it is the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association, so there's more to it than that. Tell me a little bit about the growth on the other side, off the athletic field. What's that like in Oklahoma right now?
Well, that's a great question. You know, about half of the associations across the country have non-athletics included as well, and we are very proud of that. We have, like I said earlier, about 100,000 students that participate in athletics, but we have another 100,000 students that participate in non-athletics, and that's in things like, you know, music, speech, debate, drama, academic bowl, those kinds of events. We're very proud of the fact that we do both athletic and non-athletic in Oklahoma, and we think they're both just as important. Those kids who win a one-act play championship or win an academic bowl championship are just as excited about the football players that win it. You know, they may not get the ink or the press, but I promise you, they work just as hard in the band and the choir and all those kinds of things as the coaches do. And I think there's more and more people that are starting to accept that. They're starting to see the dedication. And we also find out a lot of these great athletes are involved in both, which we think is great, you know, especially in the smaller schools. They have to share those kinds of things. So we're very lucky. We still have a strong non-athletic participation rate here in Oklahoma. We're hoping to continue that. So we're proud of both our athletic and non-athletic activities.
And one of the things that I always like to bring up here is how proud we at the Coaches Association are, people that, you know, give of their time. And obviously this is a job for you, but it's something that you're in because it sounds in your voice that you've got a love for it. So what got you involved and what keeps you involved, and what is the future of high school athletics and activities?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, three questions in there at one time.
Yeah. I got involved because I'm actually on the non-athletic side of our association. My brother was a football coach, and so I've kind of seen both sides of activities, both athletic and non-athletic. I was a public school teacher. I was a music teacher for 21 years, and I took this job on. What's the future of the sports and non-athletic? That's a great question. You know, we have study after study, Jeff, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit, but we have so many studies that show kids do better who are involved in activities, whether it be athletic or non-athletic. Kids who get involved do better, not only in school, but in life. There is study after study that shows that their GPAs are higher, the suicide rates are lower, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, every time a new law comes out, we tend to squeeze out those activities. We take those athletic and non-athletic activities and put them aside like they're not important. You know, my own personal thing is I can't remember a single kid I sat next to in an English class. I don't even remember. I know I took it, but I don't recall anything. But every one of those kids who are in activities, you remember those kids. Sometimes you make lifelong friends and relationships with those people. And I'm not saying that kids in English aren't important. I'm just telling you that I can tell you, kids do better. Why are we squeezing those out? So all of the high school associations are walking that tightrope right now. How do we stay involved? How do we get the funding? How do we get the government behind us? It's real easy to say, you know, Johnny can't read, so we're taking everything out of the schedule except for reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's ultimately not what keeps kids in school, as you know. The future is wide open, you know, and as soon as you get me elected governor or president, I'll fix a lot of that stuff for you, okay?
Well, it sounds like you've just announced your campaign here. That's the first time I've ever had that happen, so congratulations to both of us.
Well, Jeff, as my campaign manager, I'm counting on you heavily. You know that.
I've got 50,000 listeners. We'll see what we can do from there. We'll grow from there. But, Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time to educate our listeners on what's going on in Oklahoma. And as you said, with your centennial celebration, go to OSSAA.com, and you can fill it out. But really appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck with the rest of the 100 years.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you so much for allowing us to spread the word. And we hope all your Chicago people up there will go to our website and check us out.
Sounds good. Take care, Mike.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That is Mike Plunkett of the Oklahoma Secondary School Activities Association. Again, their 100th celebration, 100-year celebration going on right now, and a lot of interesting things. Again, the website is OSSAA.com, and you can check it out there. There's a link that says Centennial Celebration. Going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk some cross-country, going to the co-founder of XCNation.com, Aaron Taylor. When we come back, this is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World. The United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
And now back to the NHSCA Sports Hour with your host, Jeff Fisher.
Thank you very much, Corey. As promised, we're bringing in XCNation.com's co-founder, Aaron Taylor. Of course, last week we had on Brother David, the Marine from Afghanistan. We're going to stay in the country this week to talk to Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. Well, let's some good news this week. You got some new rankings out here, and I wanted to kind of, you know, get the people up to date. I could have read this, Adam, but I thought, hey, let's get Aaron on here to chat a little bit. So tell us what's happened in the last or a couple of weeks since we've talked to you. What are the new rankings showing us?
Well, the new rankings, I think for the first time in the last 2 months, the teams are kind of stabilizing. I think it's the first week we've had very minimal changes from 1 week's rankings to the next. We've seen at the Manhattan Invitational, which is the largest cross-country meet in America this last week, four ranked teams competed, and they finished in the order that we had them in the rankings. And then you have some surprises, Calvin Christian in Michigan went to a 2,000 athlete meet and had four runners in the top five. Out of 2,000 runners. So, you know, we see some real strength on one part. On the other hand, we see teams are falling in the line.
So right now on the boys' side of things, we've got Arcady out of California, top ranked. Bismarck from North Dakota, Christian Brothers Academy. Of course, we had Tom Heath from New Jersey on earlier this year. South Lake Carroll at number 4 from Texas, and Davis from Utah at number 5. One of the things that we didn't talk about when you were on the show about a month ago is what goes into your rankings. And obviously, unlike other sports like football or baseball's playing a little bit more interstate type of stuff, you guys have the opportunity to see, you know, mano-a-mano and woman-against-woman competition. So what goes into the rankings? How do you develop them so that people understand it a little bit better?
Well, it's very complex. I think the most important thing that I can convey is, you know, cross-country history matters. And, you know, teams and athletes have competed for the last 30 years, 40 years, and sent some very real benchmarks. And, you know, a team's strength in compared relation to the best teams from their state's history is huge. But you have factors that we calculate in that, number one runner, number 1 through 5 spread, your 3 to 5 spread, who's your anchor? The number 5 runner is your anchor. They're the heart of your team. You'll live and die by your number 5 runner. And, you know, our formula that we have is about 200 characters long, and we don't really buy into speed rankings. We think that every athlete has the ability to do better than they've ever done before, and so we don't limit athletes' ability or heart or passion, but it's really how does a team relate to history, and that's the heart and blood and the soul of what we do.
Okay, well, let's flip over onto the girls' side of things. We talked about the boys. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing there. I know the team at the top looks really, really difficult to knock off of that perch.
Well, they're probably not going to be knocked off. I mean, at the Manhattan Invitational, Fable Manlius beat the number 5 team in the country. They beat the number 7 team in the country. They beat the number 22 ranked team in the country. I think I said before, they're in a league all their own. And it's not a matter of, and this is pretty bold to say, but I can say it with confidence because they're the 5-time defending state national champions. I think it's The challenge is when will the rest of the country catch Fayetteville Manlius? You know, the program is on another level.
And right behind them, number two is Carmel from Indiana. Number three is Saratoga Springs from New York. La Costa Canyon from California, and Tattnall from Delaware. So that's what we're looking at there. But anything coming up in the next couple of weeks that cross-country fans should know about as far as meets that'll kind of shake things out a little bit more? What's on the horizon?
Well, you've got the big California meet, the Mount SAC Invitational, which is the largest meet in the West Coast that's coming up here in the next 2 weeks. You know, the team to watch, I think that, you know, we're really excited about is this team from Michigan. It's they're a Division IV school. The school's only got a little over 300 athletes in the entire 300 total student body enrollment. But they're, you know, the coach is opening them up. He's letting them go and run for the record books and let the country know that a little small school out of Michigan can compete nationally. And that's the real exciting thing. But, you know, Arcade is going to run in the...
Yeah, I think we're having... We're getting a little break up there. Let me see if I can hear you a little bit better.
Yeah, they're going to show the kind... What now?
Yep, go ahead. No, you were breaking up there, so we lost you a little bit, but go ahead. You're talking about Arcadia.
Yeah, you know, Arcadia is led by Sergio Gonzalez, and they're the defending national champions. They've got, you know, they're running for one mission this year, and that's to repeat. Only four teams in the last 40 years have repeated as national champions, and it's been 2 decades since another team has done that. And last year's team was so probably the greatest boys team in history, and the residual effect is they've got a tremendous program this year.
Well, and we're working on getting Sergio Gonzalez on next week's show there, so I know I appreciate you. We got you at the last minute. I know you're in the car there driving, so we appreciate you getting everybody up to date on what's going on. We'll talk to you in the next couple of weeks, and we'll work on getting Sergio on next week's show.
Sounds good.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye.
That is Aaron Taylor, co-founder of XCNation.com. The new national rankings are out for boys and girls teams, and you can see those on the blog. I'll put those up later tonight. You can go to nhscasportshour.blogspot.com to check out the top teams. But again, as you heard Aaron say, on the boys' side, Arcadia from California is number one, and Fayetteville Manlius is number one on the girls' side of things, and we'll shake it out behind you on that. And go to xcnation.com for all your news and information throughout the season. They're a new partner with us here at the NHSCA, and just proud to be tied in with them, because those guys, Aaron and his brother, his identical twin brother, David, over there in Afghanistan, are just they're lovers of the sport, and they promote it so well. Take a break, and we're going to wrap things up. When we come back, a little bit of news from the NHSCA. When we come back, this is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
And now back to the NHSCA Sports Hour.
Thank you very much, Corey. In about 10 minutes, going to switch things around a little bit and start High School Football America coming up on the show at 7 o'clock. We've got a real great story out of Ohio. We will talk with head coach John Nemec of Roosevelt High School in Kent, Ohio. And he's been there for 30 years, but the story that we're going to focus on is his offensive guard, whose career has been cut short as he deals with a battle against a very rare bone disease that was discovered in April. And Ryan Anderson, who is a nominee for the High School Rudy Awards, which you can go to highschoolrudyawards.com to learn about a bunch of high school football players from around the country that have been nominated. These are kids that are not necessarily the best quarterback, the best linebacker. They're just inspirational stories. But anyway, we will have the inspirational story of Ryan Anderson, who despite facing life and death odds has been able to kind of plow through. I think one of the stories that really caught my eye was the fact that when he was told back on April the 4th that he had this very rare disease that actually claimed the life of one other former Roosevelt player, he was more worried about how his mom and dad were doing. So we're going to have Coach John Nemec on the show along with Ryan Anderson coming up on High School Football America. And then we're also going to have Brianna Amat, a young lady from Pinckney High School in Michigan, who on the very same day was named homecoming queen and then went at the end of the game and booted a 31-yard field goal to win the game for her team. So that's that and a bunch more coming up on High School Football America at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock Eastern time. I want to remind you that the NHSCA getting geared up. Yeah, wrestling season's not that far away as we get ready for everything in the fall, but the NHSCA getting ready for the championships once again this year. The national championships will be held in Virginia Beach in Virginia, and that will take place at the end of March into April, and the exact dates are March 28th through March the 30th, and more information will be coming, but you can go to our website at nhsca.com to learn a little bit more about that. Still looking for some teams for the festival that is going to come up later on this year. It's our 11th annual festival, and we've had it in Pleasant Valley High School every year, and that will be once again in the Poconos, in Poconos in Pennsylvania, and looking for some more teams to get into the bracket there. But for right now, what you can know is about some of the teams that we have there. The defending champs are Blair Academy. They are back from New Jersey, and we also have teams from Pennsylvania, a couple of teams, a team from Massachusetts, like I said, a couple of teams from New Jersey, one from New Hampshire and Ohio. It's Benton from Pennsylvania, Bergen Catholic from New Jersey, Blair Academy from New Jersey, Cedar Cliff from Pennsylvania, Central Bucks South from PA, Central Bucks West from PA, Don Bosco Prep from the Garden State in New Jersey, East Stroudsburg South from Pennsylvania, Framingham from Massachusetts, Long Branch from New Jersey, Mifflinburg from Pennsylvania, Northampton from PA, Palisades from Pennsylvania, Souderton from Pennsylvania, one other New Jersey team, St. Benedict's Prep, and a team from Ohio, St. Edward, a very, very strong team, and then Timberlane from New Hampshire. There are still some openings if you want more information on the tournament. You can call Jamie Ferraro, and you can go to the website, and you can email her there or find out her phone number to do that. The NHSCA's number is 610-923-0900. Well, that's going to do it for this evening's show. We want to thank all of our guests. It was a great show. We spoke at the top with Wendy Wilson, who is the 2011 National High School Coaches Association Field Hockey National Coach of the Year. She has won three straight Virginia Class AA and single-A titles along the way. She's done a lot of incredible things, including, as you heard, give birth to a young son, and then 2 days later after the birth, show up on the sideline for her team's game. We also spoke with Mike Plunkett of the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association. They are celebrating their 100th anniversary, and Mike did a great job of telling us a little bit about the history of Oklahoma when it comes to high school athletics and activities in general. So if you missed that interview, we will have this show up on our archives very soon. You can go to artistfirst.com and click on the NHSCA Sports Hour to get those. And we wrapped up our conversations tonight with Aaron Taylor of XCNation.com, a great partner who has the new national cross-country rankings out. And as always, Aaron does a great job. And if you want anything, any news on high school cross-country throughout the season, that's the place to go, XCNation.com, one of our proud sponsors, along with Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GGM Sportswear, Cliff Keen, Dallamure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. We will be back next week with another NHSCA Sports Hour starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, this is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports. You've been listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.